There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I know it's 8 o'clock and you got to do your top of the hour
thing.
Well,
just all I have to say is this. We're coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio. That's it. So there you go. Go for it.
I got to tell you, I just saw on my Instagram feed the Belmont Village that's opened up over there at UBS Arena.
I heard about this.
Have you seen this thing?
I have not seen a lot of it. I just heard that it was going to be like high-end shopping over there, sort of like the Miracle Mile there in Manhasset.
Yeah, well, nothing is like the Miracle Mile, believe me.
But, I mean, it kind of wants to be.
The Americana Manhasset is like just a total, it's like Madison Avenue picked up and put right there in the heart of Manhasset.
Yeah.
But I will say, it's a luxury shopping village, and they have a couple of the soft openings, I guess, that is happening. They're not totally done building all of it, but it looks pretty good.
All right, nice. So good for them.
I don't necessarily know that I would end up going over there, but I guess if you're going to a game, you're going to Belmont Park when they finally finish that. They're putting a lot of money into that space over there, so it's a real something to be proud of, I guess.
So it looks like. Proud of you, guess, or proud of, like,
I guess, I don't know. If you live in Elmont, you may not like it. I don't know. I'm not sure. But hopefully you do like it because it brings some tax money to your town. And
how could you not like it? You got the high-end shops. You got a brand-new arena. The racetrack's going to be redone. How do you not like it?
Well, traffic and everything else. But I will say it beats what was there. I can tell you that.
Without a doubt.
And with them refurbishing Belmont Racetrack, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be beautiful.
Yes. And there's still at least another year. So there'll be another Belmont Stakes up in Saratoga.
Where memories are made.
At a shopping village?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
That's their big hook.
I mean, I'm okay.
So the I guess the company that did this has these shopping villages in London and Dublin and Paris.
Ooh.
So there's a little bit of feel Chez Paris right there in Elmont.
Right. London, Paris, Elmont. Just sort of works out perfect.
Right up the Cross Island Parkway, baby.
Damn right. Let's go to Joe, who is in Westchester. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I just want to make a comment regarding the Gruden situation and with the Commissioner Goodell. In defense of Gruden, obviously he got caught up in the Schneider business and all that. With Boomer's comment regarding the difficulty of the Commissioner's job, of course, but at the same time, I think Goodell gets a lot of praise for the business side of the success of the NFL over the last 20 years, where I think that a lot of that has to go to Jerry Jones over in Dallas for his own benefit and the other guy's benefit. And actually, you could argue that indirectly that the demise of the Cowboys as far as a performing, winning football team on the field has certainly... you could maybe say he's been distracted and serving two masters. That's the only thing that I take away from it. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Okay. Look, Jerry Jones is a very, very controversial figure in the NFL, the way he does things. And I'm sure that, when you're in those owners' meetings and he speaks up, guys like Mike Brown or the McCaskey family that own the Bears, the Rooneys that own the Pittsburgh Steelers probably all go, oh, here we go again, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, but I will say that, he built that whole practice facility, high school football teams go in there and play. They have tours and everything, and it does get a little crazy for the players. I know that. But when you think about what Patriot Place has become, what Lambeau Field has become, what they're trying to do in Cleveland now at their new stadium, they're trying to build all these things, kind of like what they did out at UBS Arena. We were just talking about it, this Belmont Village. So, I mean, that's the new kind of theory. It's more than just the game on the field now. Now it's a big real estate play. And this way the owners can make money with that they don't have to share with the players.
Yeah, well, look what's going on over by Citi Field and what they want to build there.
Exactly. And none of that has to do with the players on the field, by the way. In other words, the NFLPA is fighting for players' rights with the media rights, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the ticket prices and maybe some parking or whatever. But at the end of the day, the owners see an opportunity to build around the most popular sport in the country.
Paul's in a very important place today, Pennsylvania. What's going on, Paul? How are you?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you guys?
All right, great. Paul, what's happening?
Oh, not too much. Big fan of the show, big fan of everybody. So you guys keep me company every morning, so I appreciate that. I just wanted to say, talk a little bit about the Jason Kelce thing. I heard the cop call in yesterday saying that the guy, Jason should be arrested for assault because this guy was only exercising his freedom of speech. Drives me nuts as a lawyer that people don't understand. This has nothing to do with freedom of speech. That's a government issue. Government can't restrict your speech. You know, this has nothing to do with that. Whether he should be arrested or not is a different question, but it's not a freedom of speech issue. So drives me crazy. Appreciate the opportunity to let me get that off my chest.
Yeah, and I also think that the officer that called yesterday was just frustrated in the sense of, you know, every moment now with a body cam when people are provoking police officers is caught, and then the police officer in any way to respond to keep the peace or to detain a jerk is going to get a negative response from people, whereas, you know, Travis Kelce in a similar situation dealing with a jerk throws the phone down and is maybe celebrated. I think there was like a little bit of a hypocrisy thing that was eating at that, just from what I could tell from the officer. But yeah, I mean, we don't need to go down some of these roads as far as assault and freedom of speech and this and that. Like, the guy was a jerk. Jason Kelce reacted in a way that matched that jerk's energy level. And he regretted it and said that he regretted it yesterday.
And the only reason he regretted it is because he's a famous person.
Exactly.
And he's on TV, and he's got a microphone and a camera in his face, and he's got a very popular podcast. And, you know, he and his brother are all over the place. They're doing commercials and everything else. And
right. It could touch the money spot for him, too.
Exactly. But like, to me, like, anybody watching that, you know, knows what the guy that is videoing him is doing.
Yeah. Of course.
And that's kind of some of the stuff you run into it from time to time, which is really unfortunate. Really unfortunate. And part of me wanted Jason to turn around and slug the guy, but unfortunately he's not going to be able, you know, that would have made things worse, and I think he recognized that.
All right. So on today being Election Day, I don't want to go down too much of a political route, but I do want to bring this topic up to you, which is Pat McAfee apparently turned down interviews with both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And I found that very interesting that he would do that. Now, I have to go back and to see more of his reasoning for it. If he explained it, I did see it on the show sheet this morning. I have to go back and read an article. But and maybe he said, you know, I don't feel like I'm someone who should be asking the questions, and maybe not. I am a sports guy, whatever. Maybe he was saying that. But
I kind of actually respect that out of him.
Do you?
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't want to wade into some of the tougher discussions. Like, to me, like, Joe Rogan did it right. He sat down with President Trump, and he sat there for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he offered the vice president the same opportunity, and she said no, and she wanted to control it, according to him.
Well, he was not going to be on his turf, and there was going to be a time limit.
That would be the thing that bothered me. Yeah. I would say, like, okay, I'll sit down with you, but if we're going to get really into it, we're really going to get into it. I'm not going to listen to talking points. I'm going to ask you questions, and I want direct answers. And maybe he felt uncomfortable if he had to go at either one if there was something that they were saying. And the other thing, too, is like, maybe he is not up on all the issues. Maybe he's afraid that if he sits down and gets steamrolled by one of these two, and you know how politicians are on both sides, they just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and you can never stop them. They're filibustering every single goddamn question you're asking them. And, you know, to pin somebody down and give you an honest answer about what they believe is probably a waste of his time, and that's probably the way he looked at it. That's what
I don't know if it would be like he and to his credit, that show has become that popular where they, you know, some of the people that identified which podcast to go on, which shows to go on,
they're trying to reach young men because not enough young men go out and vote.
Sure. So I also think that's, I don't know, I just I feel like the talk show host in me says you don't turn that down. And you sit there and you get the, you book it, you sit with whoever you need to, you educate yourself, you work on it, you figure it out, and you're like, man, this is a huge opportunity, and you hope not to screw it up, but like, this is what you got into the business for, is at least for me, is to get tremendous opportunities across the board, and you become so popular that they're coming to you, and it's almost like putting, you know, turning them away, I feel like, is a missed opportunity.
But again, again, you don't know the parameters under which the offer was given. And if one side says,
well, they're telling me what questions I got to ask, then no way. Of course I'm not doing it.
But I think that's part of it. I think that's one of the reasons why, I'm just assuming after reading everything that has come out of the Joe Rogan stuff, that the vice president did not want to sit down for 3 hours with him and have a conversation. Like they were going to be beholden to her, and he had to go to her. She wasn't going to come to him. And he just said, forget it. I'm too popular. I have too many people that listen to me. And this is a forum where you can come here and you can talk about the issues that you believe in, if you have something that you actually believe in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so like, all right, so Shannon Sharp gets an opportunity to do it.
I listened to that. That was nothing.
No, but my point is, though, like he, and I'm not saying it was something or nothing. I'm just talking about the decision of doing it. Like, he wasn't afraid to do it, but I wonder, was he given, like,
100%, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I guess it's, I don't have all the information on what, I just, at first blush, I'm like, man, like, if we had both of those opportunities, if both came to us, I'm sure that we would be given rules and we'd have to make that decision. But I certainly wouldn't. My reaction would not be, oh, we're guys who do fart jokes and talk about the Jets. This is not our spot. That certainly would not be what I would say.
Well, I would say that you're a father of two children. I'm a grandfather right now, you know, of four. I mean, I want the future to be a certain way, especially for my granddaughters. Well, you know what I mean? I would have serious questions about some of the things that these people are pushing. So, but then again, if somebody told me you can't touch that, I'm like, then get the hell out of here. What the hell do I want to talk to you for?
Yeah, so it's not a black or white type of thing. I mean, there's without a doubt. But if it were like, hey, you get the interview and go for it, and you get 15 minutes each, and there's no parameters, I would absolutely accept.
You know what? I actually really don't blame him. I'm talking about Pat McAfee right now. I really don't blame him. I mean, because he's very popular, obviously, within the young men realm, especially around sports and everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. He's added a jolt to College Game Day, which I think is the best pregame show, you know, on television, and I've said that for 20 years, even without him. But he's added a jolt to that, too, and that always comes off great on TV on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I actually look forward to that, you know? I mean, I really do. So I don't know what to tell you. I appreciate that maybe he just said, look, I don't want to get weighed into this. I just want to do sports. I want to do my thing. I want to stay in my lane. And I appreciate that.
Okay.
I do. I really do. Now,
I don't like the stay in my lane stuff because aren't all of us in this lane? Like, all of us are voters. All of us live in this country. And just because your job happens to be to talk about something doesn't mean that your vote doesn't count as much. Like, that's the thing that just drives me nuts. Like,
I would think our listeners would know, like, who we're going to vote for. I don't feel like it's my need to give an endorsement to anybody.
No, I'm not saying an endorsement.
But my point is that we are here to entertain in the morning, and we are here basically with the foundation of sports. But as you have told many people, because I've stood around you listening to you explain what we do here.
Yeah.
It actually, you hit the nail right on the head. We're here to entertain in the morning. We try to inform, depending on what the sports take of the day may be, but also our life experiences, you know, as fathers, as grandparents.
Yeah, exactly. And you know how they have these town halls and like people will ask questions to the candidates? Like, why is it that someone who does a sports talk show has to be like, I'm going to stay in my lane and I'm not going to ask these questions? But like, you know, like people in those town halls aren't like, you know, I'm a teacher. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm just going to teach and I'm not going to ask the candidate a question. Like we're all here living in this country. And if you're old enough to vote, we all want to be informed. I don't like that. Like the whole like stick to this, stick to that thing. It's like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and we're not going to do a show where I'm telling people what to do with their lives. But I also think that if presented with an opportunity to interview two candidates, if they came to us, I wouldn't be running in the other direction.
As
I'll tell you that
long
much.
As it was an unfettered
exactly.
discussion. Oh, that's the thing. And one side is unfettered. He is willing to go out there and talk about anything, whether you like him or you don't.
Right.
He will sit down with anybody and talk for hours about everything.
Sure.
The other side is packaged, closed up, goes on to a very, very, I would say, soft landing spots, and is unwilling to really get into the discussions about what has gone on over the last 4 years. Am I pretty much accurate on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially when you look at the Rogan situation and
that, that tells me all I need to know. Nobody has to tell me. I can make my own decision, but certainly that in itself tells me all I need to know. That's, you know, one person's willing to tell you what they think, what they're going to try to do, and the other person is hiding behind what they've done and is trying to not even talk about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was interesting. I'd love to hear more about. I'd love to like talk to Pat McAfee off the air about that because I'm interested. I'm not sitting here thinking he did right or wrong with it. I just in my eye, I just try to put myself in the shoes if I had that opportunity, and I've had a lot of questions about what we would be able to ask and the time frames and all of that.
But so. Let me ask you this question about the difference between Joe Rogan's podcast and what he has done and Pat McAfee's show on ESPN. They really, truly are completely different.
Yeah, but do you also have, like, all right, so, but Kamala Harris went on with Stephen Jackson and Matt Barnes. She went on with Shannon Sharp. Like,
softball landings, man. Softball landings. They were told what they could talk about and really didn't get into it.
I kind of think McAfee would have been the same thing, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, for both of them. I don't think that he would be hammering them.
I don't know why you'd regurgitate on them. I understand what you're saying. Like I said, I would go for it. As long as somebody wasn't in my face telling me what I had to ask and what I can't touch on.
Of course.
What are we doing? If we're not sitting here giving our honest opinions about something, then what the hell are we doing?
Well, of course.
We're just giving somebody a platform to spew more crap?
No, we would not. You know, that's not something we would sign up for, that's for sure.
Maybe that's why Pat McAfee didn't sign up for it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I said I'd like to.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To ask.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back in here. He's got sports for us. What's up, Jerry?
And we are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We start with the Monday night football game, which ended the week in the NFL with the Chiefs beating the Bucs in overtime 30-24. Tampa scores late. Kick the extra point, and there's great video, I'm sure, if you were watching the game. You saw it when the Chiefs win the coin toss. Baker Mayfield gives you the old, you got to be kidding me, type of reaction. Yeah. Like, great. And the Chiefs go right down and score. Kareem Hunt from a couple of yards out. He ran for 106 yards. Here is Mahomes. Hunt getting it done.
He prepares himself for the moment, and then whenever we get down there in like fourth quarter and in the games, he's going to make those runs 5 to 6 yards, 7 yards, whatever it is, and he's going to finish. And when you play that hard the entire game, it wears on the defense.
I'm sure.
How about these two statistics for Patrick Mahomes last night? He was 11 of 13 for 126 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. On third down.
It's pretty good.
How about that?
And he was 13 of 17, which was part of those numbers, for 112 yards, 2 TDs, 0 interceptions in the fourth quarter in overtime. He owns the fourth quarter, man.
It's called a winning player.
He is. He really
is. Championship player. Here's DeAndre Hopkins. He had himself a couple of touchdown catches, first home game as a Chief.
A blessing. I'm grateful to be here. So, I'm still taking it in. I believe in God, prayer, manifestation. So, just taking it in, man.
Did that manifestation work in Tennessee?
Yeah, it didn't work very well. But that's he prayed to get out of Tennessee.
Okay,
he
got that. That's what it was, sure. Okay.
How about, so this is a weird thing. He's the first Chiefs wide receiver with 2 or more reception touchdowns in a game since 2021. Which Chiefs wide receiver would have had 2 touchdowns in a game? Byron Pringle.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Kadarius Toney. Too bad it wasn't.
Huh. Joker?
It could have been, but he dropped them on the way in.
Here is Andy Reid. So I mentioned the fact that the Bucs score, kick the extra point, don't go for 2 for the lead with 27 seconds to go. Were you surprised at that decision?
No, but I'm glad he didn't.
Go for 2 in that spot. Here was Baker Mayfield. We lost, but there's no lack of effort.
A lot of resiliency by our guys. Guys up front played well. Everybody was kind of making plays, and a lot of guys that not necessarily had played a lot, making plays for us. So, there's a lot of positives to take away from it. But, there's a certain point when you lose 3 in a row, how many positives are you going to take away from it before you really get sick of it?
Yeah.
Well, Buccaneers.
That's a strange way of saying it.
They lost last night.
Yeah. Yes, they did, to the Chiefs. The Buccaneers take on the 49ers.
Buccaneers. Buccaneers. Yes.
When did you say that like that?
I have maybe this morning, yesterday. I have no idea. CBS Sports Minute Take.
No. It was there. It was during a live read yesterday.
Oh, it was. Yes. Okay. Oh, you guys are unbelievable.
That was a hard one to ignore.
You guys are just shoving me right out the door.
No. You know what it was? It was like I heard it. It was one of the breaks I was going to go to the bathroom. So, I hear it. I'm like, did I hear that right? And as I'm sitting there taking a leak, I hear over the loudspeaker, Buccaneers. And I went, yeah, I did hear that right. That was a weird one.
Okay.
Anyhow, so the Bucs play the Niners on Sunday, and good news for San Francisco, Christian McCaffrey might actually be able to play, as Trent Williams says, back on the practice field.
Such an amazing feeling to see that 2-3 out there. doing his extensive warm up and, you know, a million high knees he does before practice. It was great scene.
So if he is indeed back, the Niners get a little bit healthier and certainly a lot better. The Cowboys, well, they've got their issues. They learned that Dak Prescott will be out multiple weeks with the hamstring injury. That having been said, after the latest Cowboys loss on Sirius XM, Adam Schein reacted.
Well, that'll do it for the 2024 Dallas Cowboys. Dead. Defunct. Done. A complete and utter disaster. A waste of time, energy, space.
A lot of big D's there.
Air rotting corpse. With maggots crawling all over your face. With your fat head, coach. And your old ass owner. It's over. You're done. You're finished. Finito caput.
It is unbelievable.
So while the Cowboys are dealing with Dak being out, Micah Parsons, who's not playing, instead continues to do his podcast reflecting on Saquon Barkley on the Eagles.
For Saquon, this is a blessing in disguise just off the strength of people are seeing what you're capable of when people appreciate you. The Giants did not appreciate him.
What?
And now the rest of the league is facing the consequences of the Giants' stupidity.
Yeah.
I
brought this up earlier. I think it's insane that he's saying that. I mean, and the revisionist history on what Saquon Barkley did for the Giants is insane to me. He's in a great spot. He's having a great season. Doesn't mean that the Giants should have paid him that money with where they are in the organization. I will say, though, that it is hilarious, as the Giants are 2-7, that Saquon Barkley is flying through the air backwards, jumping over defenders.
I will say this,
two weeks after he ran all over him at MetLife Stadium.
I know we don't talk a lot about this, but I have to say, those Eagle uniforms were awesome.
Very cool.
Kelly green.
Those were great.
I don't disagree.
They should always wear those.
If you had I think the best matchup would be the Kelly green Eagle uniform and the white throwback Giant uniform. Those together. That white throwback Giant uniform.
Yes.
The 80s.
It's
one
beautiful.
Of my favorites.
It's beautiful, yeah.
I did like the Packer uniforms on Sunday, too.
The old
and
green,
I don't usually
green,
like
yellow.
Their throwbacks. Yeah, I thought they were actually kind of cool.
Those aren't really throwbacks.
They're not?
No, those are like the City Edition uniforms.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
When they go back to their throwbacks, they wear the brown.
But those are
the old
terrible.
Packers.
But
yeah, those are awful.
Like the Steeler ones are horrendous.
The Bumblebees. Yes. They don't wear those anymore.
Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce met the media Monday on why he fired Luke Getsy and two other assistants.
Yeah, just performance results and production. Just wasn't heading the direction I wanted it to go. And I'll use the next 24 to 48 hours to sit down with the staff and figure out who's going to call the offense going forward.
Glad you're going to figure that out.
If I was a Raider fan, like, you didn't know that before you fired them? But I guess not. And Adam Schefter reporting the Lions are acquiring defensive end Za'Darius Smith from the Browns.
Got wow.
The trade deadline today.
That's good. Good for them.
Yep, getting a little bit better. We heard from Joe Kelly earlier on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast talking about, the way the Dodgers beat them. Kelly on the Dodgers, formerly of the Red Sox. Here's another one, and then I got a Dave Roberts one for you. This is where Kelly continues to go all in on knowing that the Yankees would wind up just beating themselves in the World Series.
We were saying every single game, just let them throw the ball to the infield. They can't make a play. I mean, you saw Shohei got an extra base going to third on sloppy Gleyber play. It's well known. We all knew. I mean, we're the Dodgers. We know every little detail.
Oh, they know every little detail. And here he is where he's talking about the Yankees just simply not being as good as everybody else in the playoff field.
We had a playoff re-ranking. Like, they might be ranked 8th or 9th best playoff team. You know what I mean? Like, you're putting the Padres ahead of them. You're putting the Phillies ahead of them. You're putting the Mets ahead of them. You're putting the Braves ahead of them, and the Braves just got unlucky because they had to play that doubleheader. You're putting, the Guardians played like crap, but the Guardians played better baseball around.
That's where it kind of loses you. They beat them. Like, you can't put Cleveland ahead of them.
I hit a couple home runs off Class A. That's why. I mean, I don't know. It's brutally honest. It's hard to hear if you're a Yankee fan. I know, but the Yankee fan had been talking about this since the middle of the season, if not before that. And then you wonder, like, who do you hold responsible? They made the World Series. I know it's crazy. But then who do you hold responsible for that reputation allowed to be a part of what the Yankees have become?
Also, I mean, Joe Kelly did not throw one pitch in the postseason this year. He's always had an axe to grind against the Yankees. I think he's going over the top with it. I do think they obviously have issues, and they've been a sloppy baseball team, but I mean,
by the way, the Yankee fan is
trolling. Like, there's no two ways about it.
But the Yankee fan has called this station 1,000 times and has said those exact things, pretty much about sloppy,
lazy baseball.
They didn't say
that the Mets were better and the Braves were better and everything else.
No, but they've said sloppy, lazy baseball. How many times have we heard, when is Aaron Boone going to hold somebody accountable?
Here's the problem with this. There's no way they expected Aaron Judge to drop a fly ball when he hadn't done it all year long.
Yeah.
There's no way they expected a future Hall of Famer to decide, he'll take it at first base and just stop running to first. All right, the Volpe error was a bad one. It's not like Gleyber Torres kicked the ball around that game.
Yeah, this wasn't someone not running out a ground ball to first base or just like a routine error. Like, there were things in there that were inexplicable.
I say again to you, Shohei Ohtani hits a ball over Juan Soto's head. It goes off the wall. He ends up on third base. Juan Soto hits a ball over Mookie Betts' head in right field, and he's standing on first base. That right there tells you all you need to know about what Joe Kelly
is saying.
Except
for the fact that they were up 5-0 in a game when all of a sudden very dependable guys made stupid mistakes that they hadn't done all season long or ever in their career.
By the way, the team itself, you know, the Dodgers, according to Joe Kelly, had a scouting report on the Yankees. He's basically telling you what the scouting report was when they were handed to them by their coaching staff and their analytics staff.
Well, here's Dave Roberts on the Mookie Betts podcast, knowing had the Yankees won Game 5 like they should have, would have been interesting.
They played free, won Game 4. And I will tell you this now publicly, I was so afraid to come back to Los Angeles for Game 6, knowing we still had Yamamoto in our back pocket. But the point being is that if we were to come back, the noise, the pressure becomes real.
Sure would have been, but we didn't get the chance to see it.
I mean, that's why you're managing. That's why you played the game. That's why he was a great player himself. That's part of it.
But all of a sudden, the doubts start to creep in. That's what he's telling you.
You know, so the next time we hear these sports reporters, you know, that cover these teams say those exact words, now we know where they got them from. From the actual people living the life of the pressure, the noise, all of that stuff.
Rockets beat the Knicks 109-97. Nets over the Grizzlies 106-104. The Suns beat the 76ers 118-116. Kevin Durant had 35 with the go-ahead hoop. Here he was talking about how that developed, and then I'm playing this to get to another Durant story.
We got Ubaldo on me, and that's the matchup we wanted. And so, I mean, he's a center, so there's not really much rim protection back there.
And so he was able to drive to the hoop and made a really nice play for the go-ahead basket. Last hour, we heard from Paul George. The other end, he didn't know how many points they were down by, took a wrong shot, so be it. A few weeks ago, apparently, Durant, or even 2 weeks ago, Durant called Stephen A. Smith a clown for, you know, the way he critiques everybody, yet he doesn't show up at arenas anymore. He just sits on TV and has, you know, throwing barbs at everybody. So Stephen A. responded yesterday on his podcast to Durant's comments.
I'm a clown. That why your team called me to be a part of your documentary? That's why y'all called me? Because I was a clown? Your company. You run the show. You executive produced it. How come y'all called me?
And then he continued.
A clown. Kevin Durant. Can anybody talk about you? I just need to know. I just need clarity.
He wanted the rules. Then he went on to just trash Durant for his decision to come to Brooklyn and not go somewhere else, and Kyrie, and then wanting out, and so blah, blah. So this has gone back and forth and back and forth. Don't know if it'll go any further, but that was kind of fun. And
I like it better when Stephen A. talks about... Damn it, I talked over that.
I liked it better when Stephen A.'s talking about boobies. That's what I like, Stephen A.
Okay.
You know, when he goes in that whole thing about how much he loves boobies.
Breasts, boobies. Let me see them.
We have played a lot of that.
Yeah.
But he's going after athletes like this. Not as fun for me.
St. John's beat Fordham 92-60. Seton Hall over St. Peter's 57-53. The Devils shut out the Oilers in Edmonton.
Jack Hughes across the line, lays it off for Brett. He waits for some help. Dumps it off now for Paul Cotter skates behind the net. Cotter on the backhand, puts it on the forehand, finds a man between the circles. They score! It's Stephen Nason late joining the play. Bang! It's 1-0.
Bang! Yeah,
that Stephen Nason was a good signing by the Devils,
and
man.
And Meyer with goals as well.
Really good.
3-0. The win is Jake Allen made 31 saves, so the Devils now 8-5-2 with the road win last night. The Rangers were off. The Islanders were off. The Islanders will play the Penguins this evening.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network this Election Day 2024. Got a good Thursday night game coming up between the Bengals and the Ravens. It'll get the NFL week started on Thursday night, but this is the first week where I feel like things have truly slowed down from a crazy, crazy time here in New York sports where we have like these Tuesdays and Wednesdays where we don't have a reaction to a Jet or Giant game because it's a primetime game, or we don't have a World Series game. So things are settling back in now as we focus on these two terrible football teams. And they did flex out a Jet game, by the way. Got them right out of there.
Jets, Colts, right?
Jets and Colts. Yes. Get out. You suck. Get out, as Al would say. We don't want you in the prime time anymore. So we'll see if the any more of those happen coming up with the Jets, with their schedule is filled with primetime games. Oh, look, our buddy Stu Feiner is here. He's in Farmingdale, of course. Haven't talked to Stu in a long time. What's happening, man? Good morning.
Hi, Gio. Hi, Boomer. Glad to be back. Glad to be on the show. It's an honor and a pleasure as always, and God, did I miss you guys. How's everything?
Oh, we're great, man. Listen, I mean, you kidding me? The stuff we've been dealing with the last couple of months here, and the Mets and the Yankees and the Jets and the Giants and the whole thing, we are flying.
Love it, love it. And like, we text almost every day, you and me, or at least 3-4 times a week, so we keep in touch, and the show is absolutely fabulous. I mean, now, because of daylight saving time, instead of being up at 5 a.m., waiting for you guys to come on at 6, I'm up at 4 a.m., waiting for you guys to come up at 6, so show is fabulous, the crew is fabulous, and God bless you guys. It's just, you know, it's a big part of my day. You know, I start the morning, you know, obviously with my Stella Blue and my egg whites, and then I just wait for you to come on so I could hear your take on life and sports, Boomer's take on life and sports, and, you know, just rock and roll. It starts my day. It gets me focused. It's so enjoyable, so stress-free that you guys have to perform and do your job instead of me. So I just sit there in the kitchen table in my underwear and really absorb and soak it in. So, you know, as a fan, as a lover of what you produce, I just want to say, you know, you're great. You're just great.
Well, thanks, all right, dude. We love the image of you sitting at your kitchen table in your underwear absorbing things. And actually, you saying that you actually focus on things is kind of an amazing thing to me as well, because I think you have a little bit of ADD, do you not?
Oh, I mean, oh, no, absolutely. onset dementia, onset Alzheimer, and I think probably, since I'm 2 years old, the originator of ADD, I concur with you, Boomer, exactly. Yes, Dr. Boomer, yes, yes, yes.
Hey, Stu, we're going to see you on the 22nd at the Paramount, Boomer and Geo Live.
Oh, I'm so, so excited for the live show. So, so excited. I mean, obviously, I've seen clips of the show in the past, and it'll be an honor and a pleasure to be there. It'll be so, so much fun. And I'm bringing Tank. I'm bringing Jinx with me. And I just want to say, Boomer, thank you so, so much for being so ingratiating and doing the walk with Tank. For my money, it was the best episode they've ever done, personally, because I personally watched you play. We're the same age. You know, I grew up with you on Long Island. So, you know, followed your career at Maryland. So it's almost like we're best friends, even though when we were best friends, you said I'm an arm's distance best friend of yours, but I'll take it. I'll take it, Boomer. That's a great, great, thing for you to say. And when you have KFC on the show in the summer, I thought he did a great job with you, and you've been so supportive of Barstool. So, you know, it really means the world. Barstool loves you, and you love Barstool. So, yes, I'm so excited to be there to hug it out with the crew and to watch you guys perform. And, you know, we're ready to roll. It's just a great, great time to be alive. If I could chime in with one little tidbit, you know, You know, obviously business is business, and either the Yankees or the Mets are going to give Juan Soto $700 million. Yeah. My problem with it is that they could get Soto, they can get whoever they want. Dodgers are probably going to three-peat. The only time you could have probably beat the Dodgers was this year. And, I mean, the Yankees in game one and, you know, game five had shots. I mean, they could have. But, you know, next year and the year after, the team is loaded. I mean, they're loaded forever. Their starting pitching next year, arguably, if things go right, might be the best starting pitching, like, literally in the last 25 years. You know, it's hard to beat them. So, you know, you're going to give the guy the money. He's a great player. It's business. But, you know, I feel bad that, you know, Mets will go to the World Series next year and, you know, and get swept by the Dodgers. Well, Yankees will be World Series next year and get swept by the Dodgers.
Yes, I mean, listen, Stu. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it's great talking to you. We'll see you on the 22nd. I'm sure I'll talk to you before then. The Dodgers were stacked. I mean, before they got Ohtani and Yamamoto, they were also still stacked, and they were losing to teams that they were better than for years and years and years. Now, I know that they've gotten better, and I know they were actually hurt this year with the rotation, meaning Ohtani wasn't pitching and Glasnow wasn't pitching. But we cannot, especially in baseball, pencil in three-peats.
Here's a question I want to ask you.
Yeah.
So Ohtani had this magical 50-50 year. He'll be the MVP of the National League. Next year, he's going to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a 50-50 year again? Now, if he pitches and does 50-50, which I don't think is possible.
I don't think so.
No. So they're going to get him to pitch. But I wonder if with him pitching, he's going to be as productive offensively.
Well, I mean, you just look to the years that he pitched and hit for almost a full season with the Angels and see. But obviously, this was the most productive year he'd ever had offensively. And I'm sure it's no coincidence that he wasn't pitching and was focusing on being a DH. But I think you'd take a little less offensive production for some of the best years that he's had on the mound, which, I mean, you know, he was at one point in the Cy Young discussion a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm going to go back and look at this. I'm just wondering, how many starts do you think they expect from him next year? Like 25, 30?
You know, I'd have to look back. I really would. I'm not sure. But, yes, that roster is insane. And they, by the way, might get Juan Soto. Like, let's not pretend it's just going to be the Yankees or the Mets. They could end up doing it as well. And in that case, God, I don't even know how you try to beat that team.
Well, I think the Yankees not picking up the fifth-year option and telling Gerrit Cole, if you want to stay, stay on the contract. Get $144 million. You got four more years here. This is your team. And, you know, and he ended up staying. I think that also kind of tells you, are they going to go all in for Juan Soto? Just getting that last fifth-year, $36 million, you know, contract away from Gerrit Cole? Is that, what does that tell you? In three years from now, that means 4 years from now, I should say. Cole will not be here. Stanton will not be here.
Right.
But you'll yeah.
I don't. If you backload the contract, you do one of these things with the deferments, I mean, maybe you figure out a way to make it work. It's just, I don't think Juan Soto's going to take a deal like that. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Yankees went and got Juan Soto this year to try to win the World Series with him, understanding that most likely it was going to be a rental because they can't fit that many guys getting paid $35-plus million a year on the same roster with the luxury tax.
Yep.
I mean, that's really what I think. But, and I think that the Mets are going to be heavily involved. And I told you yesterday, I could see the San Francisco Giants going batty for him.
Yeah, 100%. So 21, 22, and 23, Shohei Ohtani started 23 games, 28 games, and then 23 games in 2023.
Yeah, so your 25 is...
Yeah, about right.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.